I'm reminded of a story. It was a ship. Saw a light, a beacon up ahead. And the ship was flashing its light. And it signaled to the owner of the light saying, "We are bearing on a collision course. Bear 30 degrees starboard." The light keeper from the other light flashed back and said, "We will not bear 30 degrees, to the right, to starboard. You bear 90 degrees to your port." The ship's captain flashed back, "We will not bear 90 degrees to our port. You bear 30 degrees to the right. We are a large liner and a tanker ship, and you will be hurt." The man flashed back, and the other one, "We are a lighthouse. Bear quickly to your port, 90 degrees." Sometimes we believe that God is the ship when He's the lighthouse. The song "The Lighthouse" says it shines out a light so that we can clearly see. But we want to fight against what God says sometimes for no reason. But we think we have a good reason, and it's really, really subtle how this process works. Because we're so used to, you know, when we're growing up, we're told, grow up, be strong, act your age, not your shoe size. Get smart, wise up. All these sayings to help us think. And then all of a sudden, Scripture comes along and says, don't think, listen and respond. But we're told, don't listen to strangers, don't talk to strangers. We come to God, we think God is a stranger, but God says, I'm not a stranger, I'm a shepherd and my sheep know my name. I am not a stranger, I'm a friend. And yet we're so used to all the old ways of living and the old ways of life before God began to move in us that we still want to process things our own way. We want to do it the way we think is best. After all, it's worked before for us, and for the most part, we've done pretty well with our lives because we made it through till today. All forgetting, while we say that, that God's grace is what kept us. And amen, that God this morning wants us to know that He's worked very hard to let us know that His Word is a lighthouse. It's not something that moves. We're the ones on the sea of life. And God stands in the harbor and says, I'm trying to get you home. Safe. You see, Titus in chapter 3, Paul says that at one time we were foolish and disobedient. We didn't know any better. We didn't have God. We didn't have the Holy Spirit on our lives. We didn't have something that would nudge us and say, go this way. Even though it doesn't appear like a sensible thing, go this way. I have a perfect example of where I didn't do that. Today, there are two ways that I come here. But I've come to follow into a habit because it's shorter and a better road that I would rather go that way. And so I felt the Lord nudge me to go the way I don't like to go. And I said, I don't want to go that way. Besides, God, if I go this way, I'll get there faster. And so here I am all smart, and I go the way I thought, and wouldn't you know it, there's a speed trap. Thank the Lord, I was behind the police car setting the trap. And I said, Lord, I should have gone the other way. I don't like speed traps that make me nervous. And He said, I just want to show you that this was not for your harm, but for you to learn. See, God nudges us, and we're so used to listening to loud voices, but when He talked to Elijah in the cave, it was a still, small voice. Because God is not demanding. God is inviting. He never forces His will on you. He invites you. He asks you to let Him into your life. He doesn't barge in. He goes nowhere, does nothing without being welcome. Unfortunately, we push so well that we think that our voice is better. The voice of reason, we've always been told, or the voice of experience, or we've always done it that way. You know, this past week at work, I said something I thought I would never say, and that is, we've never done it that way before. I said that. As soon as I said that, I said, I don't know why I said that. I don't like that. But we had a program at work this week. And normally we have the program on Wednesday. And this time it was scheduled for Tuesday. And I said, as they were talking about it being at 3:30, I said, so I think you said Tuesday, but it's supposed to be Wednesday. And my supervisor says, it's today. And I said, but we never done it that way before. That's about the last thing they say in a church before it starts to die. And as soon as I said it, I said, what's wrong with me? Don't I know that God doesn't use precept patterns and predictability? He doesn't necessarily do it the same way twice. He does it the way that works for each one of us. The way you get God isn't the same way I will. You can convince someone that the only way you get saved is to get down at this altar, this church, at this time, this day, and if not, you're too late and you missed it. Because that's when you did. But God doesn't work that way. I promise you, if we had to have this place be the only place where God could save folks, we're in trouble. We got about 6 billion people in this planet that haven't been here yet. There wouldn't be enough room. You know, I found Jesus in Illinois. Did you know that? He makes local calls up there too. Did you know that?
He's over here.
He's here too. Yes, he is. I know he is.
He's over here.
He met me on a Sunday afternoon in Illinois. Way back in 1980. Found me there. How he did, I don't know, because I wasn't looking for him. But he found me anyway. He invited me and I accepted. And I'm telling you, you don't have to do it the way I did it. I was alone. A lot of people do it with other people around. It doesn't matter how you get there, as long as it's the way you're supposed to go. We have a definition for insanity. I'm sure you've heard it by now. Albert Einstein is credited with it, but I think someone else told him. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Why do I keep doing the same thing over and over again and I still don't get any better? Because that's insanity. But God says that what works for one doesn't work for another, but it's the same God, same Lord, same faith, same baptism, same Spirit, same salvation that's covered and presented to you the way you can receive it. You ever seen someone preaching and you're going, boy, that's the best sermon I ever heard. I'm just so excited. Someone going, man, I can't wait to get out of here and get away from this. That was horrible. Spoke too loud, spoke too long, spoke too short. Couldn't understand, didn't know. And you're going, man, I didn't want to ever quit. It was perfect. Because that person who got it that day. They needed it. And it came the way they needed it. God prescribes it and plants it at your feet. Ask Thomas in the upper room when he said, if he doesn't let me see the scars in his hands and thrust my hands into his side and his feet, I will not believe. And was it what? 8 days later, and Jesus comes into a locked room and he calls Thomas out. He says, Thomas, you wrote a prescription on how you're going to believe. It's time to pay up. to collect on the prescription. And he said, as Thomas looked at Jesus, he said, "This is Jesus. I know you're alive. I know." And Jesus says, "No, you don't. You don't understand that I heard what you said, and I'm going to do that." He said, "But I already know." And he says, "Thrust your hand into my side." And I imagine Thomas is in tears of shame because he doubted. And he presses and he says, "Now touch my hands." He says, "That's enough." I do. He says, "No, touch my feet, because you said you needed it all the way. And that's how you said you needed it. You got it." And Thomas, bursting into tears, falls on his knees and says, "My Lord and my God." And he says, "Thank you." He could not doubt ever again. And he didn't. He brought a lot of people into the kingdom. Powerful word of testimony up to the very day that he was martyred. You see, when Jesus comes to you the way you need it, you can say, "He came to me like I needed. He knew what I needed. I was so foolish to think I had to do it another way, doing it my way. I was deceived by my own thinking, by people who told me wrong things." And it says that for a while we're out in the wilderness and far away from Christ. It says, but after, we find what doesn't work, the kindness. And isn't that a beautiful word? Kindness and love. Because we've been missing that from things that don't work, is kindness. Sometimes we degrade ourselves and tell ourselves, "Well, I ought to do better." But God isn't worried about you doing better. He's not worried about that. He's worried that you love Him. And He's not really worried. He's concerned. And He's disappointed when we try so hard to do the things to make Him love us. "Lord, I've been praying every day. I go to church. You ought to love me." And God's going, "I already do. God, I ask for forgiveness. You ought to forgive me." He says, "I already did." "When were you saved?" Someone asked that to a theologian. They thought this theologian was going to give them a date, a time, and a place, and they were going to be able to attack his theology. And he said, "Very simply, I was saved on Good Friday, the day Jesus died, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What about you?" He said, "You mean it wasn't at a place and a time?" He said, "Yes, it was. It was on Calvary. It was on a cross. 3 o'clock, Good Friday. And my salvation was secured Easter Sunday morning, 3 days later. What about you?" You see, when we are deceived, it's not because God has deceived us. It's because we haven't fully surrendered to the fact that God's kindness and love is genuine. Hello? Because if we truly trusted every last word of God, we'd never shut this. We say, "I need this. Because I'm getting lies again from the world. And I don't want deceit. I know what that feels like to be deceived. I know what it feels like to be lied to, and someone to tell me they love me and they don't. Someone who says they got my best interest and they want to hurt me. I know what that's like. I want this word. This is the one who loves me. This is my love letter. This is what I want. This is what I need. I'm not going to question this anymore. Everything that's said in here, I'm going to believe it and challenge the parts of me that don't believe it. And get rid of the parts of me that say, I don't agree, because in here it says, I can be made new and agree with this completely. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creature. I might as well have a new way of thinking. Might as well have a new way of praying. A new way of talking. And a new way of loving. But I got to learn how. So I'm getting in here. No, I'm not sure how. Because I'm not positive, but I know what I'm doing. And it says that the kindness and love of God toward us appeared, and it wasn't because of what we did, but it was according to His mercy. And folks, don't you think we need mercy? I have a friend And she said, I'm really upset with myself. I don't know if I can ever, ever, ever forgive myself. And I said, why? And she said, because there's this man I've been talking to and seeing. And the other night we went out on a date and he used me. He made me feel so low, but I didn't say no. And I hate myself for it. And I can't forgive myself. And I just don't know what to do. And I said, look in the mirror. And I said, what do you want to say to that person? And you know what she said? She said, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. You've got no sense. You've got no brain. You've got no mind. You've got no self-will or control. And she started beating herself up. And I said, do you see that person in the mirror is hurting? Already hurts and throwing more on it. Isn't that what the world does? We get down and the world throws more on it. What does God do? He says that person needs forgiveness. To have an opportunity to change. To become a new creature means you have to change. And only God can change us. And hallelujah, He can. And He will. But only God can. And we can beat ourselves up all day long, but it's not going to help. I remember about 10, 12 years ago, I was looking in the mirror and I was mad at myself. And I said, I can't forgive you. And the face in the mirror says, why not? I said, because you were bad. You wished bad things on people a long time ago. And I finally said, but the only person I'm hurting is myself by not forgiving myself. And God loves me. Oughtn't I? I stood up bolt right and I said, that's right. And if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this, that God loves you. And if God, who created you, and knows everything about you and then some, loves you, why would you fight what He does? Why would you think you're better than God that you shouldn't love yourself? And why would you think you're better than God that you shouldn't love your neighbor? Who God says is redeemable. No matter what they've done. And that they need redeemed. Because it says before they're redeemed. And before we find the love and the kindness of God, we find deceit. And deceit says, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. God is no good. All these things. That's before the kindness and the compassion that we so desperately need. Enters in. And once it does, oh, it's shouting time. Because you realize, along with that wretched sinner before the temple saying, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy. Because only God can have mercy. Against Him and Him only do we mess up. Only Him. It's His word we violate. And it says that He shows His love and kindness. Not according to what we've done, but by His mercy. And listen, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing of regeneration is the baptism that says you're whiter than snow. No matter what anything else says, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what the devil says, you're clean. You're pure. You're spotless. No matter what you think, you're spotless when Christ comes in. And it says the renewing of the Holy Ghost renews this daily so you don't slip back. And how do you not slip back? By staying in the Word and before God in prayer. And when He speaks, saying, I'll do that.